The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Wood, Chief Executive Officer of Infrastrata. That's INFA. John, thanks for joining me.
Hi, good afternoon. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, listen, we just looked it up, and I said it's almost 2 years ago. You know, it was in November last, in 2018 we last spoke, and of course a lot has changed there. The company's sort of shape and profile has changed, so we'll discuss that, and we'll talk about a bit more detail about all the projects going on there. But before we do, John, an overview, if you will, a summary. Infrastrata, tell us what it's all about.
We're a strategic infrastructure organisation. You know, we've got the Island McGee gas storage project that will be a project that will transition to hydrogen later in life. So a key strategic asset there. And we also own the iconic Harland & Wolff shipyard in Belfast that we acquired back in December 2019. And we acquired the Appledore shipyard down in Devon on the 26th of August this year. So really a group of an organisation with strategic assets. The two docks in Belfast are strategic. The dock in Appledore is strategic. The gas storage project, strategic. So look, we're really on the journey moving forward. So look, I think it's a really exciting time with all things moving forward here at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, so three parts now, shipyard, two shipyards, and the gas storage. So took us through, because of course when I first talked to you, then you just come on and it was all about the gas storage. So where are you with that at the moment?
Look, the gas storage project, we had a few things to sort out that we spent last year sorting out in tidying up the feed. That project's pretty much ready to go. We've got an offtake provider on board. There's one thing we're waiting on, and that's the marine license, which we hope to have in place by the end of this year. Then hopefully we should get FID taken in the first half of next year for that project. Mm. Now, look, when we were looking at that project and we were looking at the economics of that project, we were looking at how to build bigger modules for the gas processing plant and get them to site. That's when we first started looking at the Harland & Wolff shipyard. And looking at the shipyard gives us an opportunity to take a chunk off the cash flow and probably put about 30 to 40 million of fabrication work through the yard for that project. So I think you look at all the strategic infrastructure projects that we will look at, and I'll talk about the future and the vision a bit later as we work through. But, you know, vertical integration and being able to keep some of that cash inside the group for this comes through the supply chain rather than subcontracting all the work out is something that really attracted me. And look, if you look back at my career, I started off as an engineering officer in the Merchant Navy, went through on ships, shipyard, ship repair, building vessels, repairing vessels. And I, more recently, I ran the marine division for BE Systems out in Australia. So we had the majority of the Australian fleet, the naval fleet there. So I think when you look at the shipyards and what we intend to do with them, as well as doing the fabrication for the infrastructure projects, you know, we've got five markets, six services in each market. And I think the key thing, you know, numerous shipyards over the years have failed, and they've failed because they've either concentrated on defence or they've concentrated on oil and gas. There's peaks and troughs in every industry, and what we are keen to do is make sure that we're having five different markets, which is defence, cruise and ferry, commercial, oil and gas, and renewables. Whilst one market might be dropping off a bit, the other markets will be buoyant. But inside those markets, we've got the services we offer, which really is a full life cycle service from technical services at the beginning, which is all your design work, then fabrication. And the fabrication's interesting. It could be parts of ships, it could be coal ships, it could be bridges, it could be bits for power stations. So there's a whole array of fabrication works that can go on there, through to the repairs and maintenance and the dry docks. And, you know, since we bought Belfast, we've had 19 ships through the dry docks there since we got the yard back in operation. In-service support, that's when you take people out around the globe working on vessels while they're working, then bigger conversion work, then at the end of the life cycle, decommissioning. So that's like when all the oil rigs come out the North Sea, we're one of a couple of yards in the UK that's got a decommissioning license, so we bring them in and decommission them. And I think that there's a couple of announcements that's come out recently from our Prime Minister. One yesterday was his Green Industrial Revolution, where, you know, we cover off offshore wind in the fabrication bit of the business. We cover off hydrogen because the gas storage project will go to hydrogen towards the end of the life cycle. We've got nuclear through fabrication. We've got the green maritime with the upgrades in the shipyards. And, you know, carbon capture could come into the gas caverns as well. So we've got 50% of that initiative. And then the announcement that came out today that we were actually named, our two yards were named. I just posted something on LinkedIn recently about that, saying that, you know, it's the biggest defence spending for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, look, we've got all to play for, really, you know.
Yeah, and when you took on sort of you were thinking about acquiring the shipyards, did you realise, you know, like you said, people have tried before and failed there. Did you realise straight away that there was, you know, maybe diversification was where they lacked, you know, and why they failed?
Well, I think I did a study several years ago why shipyards failed. And when I was out in Australia, one of the things I went into that yard when it just hit the wall and run out of defence work and it didn't have anything. So I put in a very similar strategy and increased the workforce from 60 to 1,800 in a period of 15 months. So it's not something new to me. I've done it before and it's come through and we sort of tried and tested it. You know?
Yeah. Okay. And as far as, you know, I suppose the commercial side of Infrastrata, where are you in the journey of development here? You know, if you could say on a percentage terms or in a yearly term, I mean, you know, how long will this journey take? I mean, what's the plan going forward, looking over, say, 3, 6, 9 months, maybe a couple of years into the line? What's happened? What's your ambition?
Well, look, I think we spent the first year really sorting out the business and what we inherited. We spent the last year really bringing our strategy into play. So we think, you know, by the end of next year, we'll start to see things really picking up and really ticking into where we want to be. So I think we're probably, if you look at this as a five-year project, mm-hmm. we're probably 1 year into the 5 years. And I think one of the first things I said when I came in, we were looking to create long-term shareholder growth. And, you know, this wouldn't be a short turnaround. It would be a medium to long turnaround. But I think those two announcements by the PM this week has probably just shortened that journey a little bit. Mm-hmm. And look, I think when you look at the changes that's happening in the renewable market and this big drive green that we're having, there's simply not enough fabrication facilities in the UK to keep up with probably half of this work if all of it comes through. So I think there's huge potential, but you look at this green drive to get, you know, all homes heated by electric within the next sort of 30 years. And bearing in mind 85% of homes are powered by gas at the moment, you know, the first transition will be to transfer away from gas into electric. But don't forget, before you're 10, 15 years away from getting all the renewables up to speed. So you've really got a massive transition period where gas-fired power stations are going to carry the load. So the gas storage is needed more now than ever, especially with Brexit. Mm. And, you know, the UK has got less than 2% of our annual gas demand in storage compared with our European neighbours who have got 25 to 30%. And, you know, now that we're not on so good terms with them, the chance of us getting sent gas when there's a problem with the supply chain will be a lot less likely than it was before. So I think, you know, especially Northern Ireland and the island of Ireland, I think you're likely to see energy blackouts or certainly brownouts over the period. So I think things will certainly change over the time. And, you know, I think that gas storage project, we originally saw it running its whole life as gas. We don't believe that's the case now. We think it will start off as gas, then slowly transition to hydrogen as hydrogen comes into play. But, you know, we had a recent independent report for that project that says, you know, during construction there'll be 400 jobs and an economic benefit of 400 to 600 million to the local economy. So certainly where we are with the global pandemic, it will be a much needed boost to the local area, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And and if you're looking forward now, just in the next sort of big milestone, next, you know, big achievement, what are you hoping to you know, scratch off the list there?
Well, I think there's two things, really. I think there's one, we've got the ship repair side of the business in Harland and Wolff up and running. Mm. We're looking to get the fabrication side moving by the end of the year. And look, there'll be an order into Appledore, which is the Devon yard. We're looking to get something in there probably the first half of next year. So I think that's the two or three bits on the shipyard and fabrication side. On the gas storage side, the marine license is the thing we're looking for, so we can get the final investment decision taken next year. And, you know, because don't forget, it's now a shovel-ready project, so there's a lot more schemes available for financing that. They'll see us retaining at project level a higher equity level than we perhaps may have done, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Well, John, every day on the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies, and to get on that list, lots of people have to hit that follow button on your page, and if they do that, they get your news straight to the front screen of their smartphone whenever you release some news. So, three reasons, please, why someone should hit that follow button on your page.
Well, I think, look, we're at the start of the journey. We've got the green industrial revolution that we play into 50%. So we know there's a chunk of work coming from there into the business. We've got the largest shipyard estate in the UK with 120 acres. And when you've got the largest defence spending announcement just been made, it's certainly a great place to be. Wind and tidal, we see that as massive. And we've got, again, the track record in wind, and we've got tidal, the facilities for it. And look, I think we're substantially undervalued in FID for Isle of Magee. We hope to take early in 2021.
Excellent stuff. John, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.